Well, it's good to celebrate the love of God every day of the year. Our guest speaker today is no stranger to Abundant Life. He's been here many, many times. Chip and Colleen Judd are a blessing to the body of Christ all over the country. They are church planters, pastors for decades, church consultants, professional Christian counselors. They've been a blessing in almost every area. Today they live in Charleston and travel from there around the country. They're a blessing to us this weekend. Chip serves on staff at one of the country's great mega churches, Seacoast Church, which has more than 50 services every week in, what, 26 churches?
13 different
campuses and more than 50 services. 12,000 members in all. I'm going to pray for you more than I have. You just really need more prayer these days than ever. It's always a blessing to have them with us. They're a blessing to our lives personally. And it's a joy to know them as friends and fellowship with them and receive from the gift of God. Colin, we're delighted you're here this weekend as well. We wouldn't be interested with him if you weren't part of the package. And they are a great package deal. But would you welcome Chip Judd as he returns?
Thank you, sir. Bless you, man. Love you. All right, how y'all doing this morning? Good deal. You ready to have a little bit of fun this morning? How many of you believe we could have a little fun and God still say something to us? All right. Well, we're going to talk in Joshua 1 if you want to turn there. We're going to get to that in a few minutes. And it'll be up on the screen here in pieces. But to kind of set the stage, some of you know and some of you don't that I'm a Citadel graduate. I grew up in Buffalo, New York, came down south to go to the Citadel. And I've got a couple of guys who are going to help me this morning to kind of make a point, and whatever. It should be kind of fun. So why don't you bring you guys in here, and I want to give you a little taste of what the first morning at the Citadel was like. This is their drill instructor, and this is some new cadets. All right. Have at it, sir.
All right. So, welcome today, gentlemen. This is going to be the end of your life as you know it. Everything will change. I need you to line up in front of me and face me. Line up. Chop, chop. Come on. I said line up. You want to stand at attention when you're talking to me?
Sir, yes, sir.
You know what attention is? Like this. How about doing it? Feet together, arms down. You not hear what I told him? Stand at attention.
Sir, yes, sir.
Do not salute me. When I give you an order, your reply is, sir, yes, sir, or sir, no excuse, sir.
Sir, no excuse, sir.
No excuse, sir. All right. Boots was short.
Sir, yes, sir.
You made that work.
Yes, sir.
Sir,
yes, sir. Sir, no excuse, sir. Don't hit me, sir.
How about that attention?
Sir, yes, sir.
All right, last time I want to say. Stand attention.
I think they need to do some push-ups.
You need to do some push-ups?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm going to start with you. You got it?
No, sir. I'll do it. No, yes, sir.
How about you drop and give me 20?
20?
Are you taking 20? Can't do 20, sir. All right. Well, stop. Can't do 20. Well, come on. What, are you a girl or something? All
March them guys out of here.
All right. Watch out.
All right, give them a hand.
Get a life.
Now, I had them dressed that way because I came down to the Citadel. Believe it or not, now, I know this is going to sound crazy to you. I didn't know what a military school was. I promise you I didn't. I had to fly in the day before because I came down from Buffalo, New York, so, you know, to get there and be there the next morning. So the night before, I'm all alone, and I'm walking around campus, and I see all these guys with their heads shaved walking in these funny lines. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, that must be the football team. I honestly had no idea that the next morning I was going to be dressed in shorts, T-shirt, now black shoes and black socks. How many of you know that just looks pretty dorky? And you come walking downstairs, and the next thing you know, you've got this army of people yelling in your face, using kind of language a little bit more colorful than that, and just teaching you how to brace and do all these kind of crazy things. Now, why did I do that this morning? Because here's the deal. The purpose of that is, in one instant, you are shocked into this awareness that yesterday you were living in one reality. Today you're living in an entirely new reality. In other words, things as you knew them no longer exist, and we're going to define how the world works. Now, here's what I believe. I believe when you become a Christian, that's exactly what happens. You leave one reality and you enter another one. And how many of you have been around long enough to realize that you were born again into a war zone? Raise your hand if you get that. So here's what I want to talk to you about. I really do feel like I have something to say. I don't like to say this, but I'm going to say it. I believe it's a word for you. I believe it's a word for me, and I'm going to talk about, I brought my personal journal with me, and I'm going to read you something from it, because what I'm going to talk to you about today is really, really fresh. How many of you believe you're not finished yet? Say yes, I'm not finished yet. Now, how many of you mean that? All right, we're going to find out now. Look at a thought that I have. I believe there's two great tragedies in life. Two great tragedies in life. One is not accepting Jesus as your Savior. The second is living the same after you have. Now think about that. The worst tragedy of all is not accepting Jesus, because you're going to spend an eternity away from God. But you know what breaks my heart? People that have accepted Jesus kind of live in the same zone after they've accepted Him. How many of you know God wants to make a difference in your life? Now, here's what I mean. I don't mean sin and that. What I'm really trying to provoke in you is this. I don't want to leave too much on the table. You know what I believe is going to be one of the saddest things when you and I get to heaven? I believe one of the saddest things when we get to heaven is we're going to walk into a room, and it's going to be over the door is going to say unclaimed promises. Unfulfilled destinies, unrealized potential. And we're going to walk in that room, and we're going to be so sad. Now, I normally come, and I have a word that's sort of counselor-ish, you know, and it's real kind of life practical. And I'm really a compassionate, gracious, I really love to identify with people. But today I'm going to be a little bit on the pastoral, maybe even a teeny little bit on the prophetic end. Because here's the deal. You know what? I love you too much to not provoke you to live the life God has called you to live. Are you listening? How many of you know nobody else can do that for you? Can I give you a little statement the Lord dropped in my heart this week? I've never heard it put this way before. I hadn't really had time to study it out, but I think it's accurate. God's grace is for things you can't do, not things you won't do. I'm going to say it again. God's grace is for things you can't do, not things you won't do. Do you understand what I'm saying? I can't make myself righteous. I can't make myself righteous. The grace of God makes me righteous. But I can make myself pray. I can make myself get in the Word. You following me? God's grace is for the things I can't do, not the things I won't do. What am I trying to say to you? I believe today you have the opportunity to enter a new reality. I'll be honest with you. It isn't a choice. How many of you are already living in a different reality than you've ever been in before? How many of you would agree nationally as a nation we're in a different reality? How many of you, by the age of life you're in, just by the age my wife and I are, we're in a new reality. We go into most rooms and we're the oldest people in the room. How many of you that are my age or older, we're 60, we just turned 60. How many of you are our age or older can remember the first time you looked around a room and realized you were the oldest person in the room? Raise your hand if you remember that moment. I don't know about you, but I didn't like it. I didn't like it. But here's the deal. I'm in a new reality. And you know what? I can whine about it. I can have a pity party. I can throw a tantrum. I can say, God, I want to wind the clock back. I can say, God, I don't like this. Or I can grab it by the throat, recognize I'm in a new reality, say I'm in a new reality, and I can learn how to live in this new reality. Now, let me read you what I was going to read you out of my journal. I was having a pity party the other day, and I was just kind of fussing. And I was just saying, how many have ever said this one? God, why does life have to be so hard? Raise your hand if you ever prayed that prayer or some version of it. And so how many of you ever had a pity party? How many of you sent out invitations? How many of you got no RSVPs and nobody came? How many of you ever had a pity party and God didn't even come? So I'm having a pity party. Now, thank God, God came, but he didn't come the way I thought he would. I thought he'd just put his arm around my shoulder and hold me and say, Chipper, come here, baby. And he didn't. You know what he did? I was whining about how it feels hard, God. And, you know, God, I'm in a new place that's on staff at Seacoast and this and that. And I'm complaining about rah, 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 rah. And I thought God would just wrap me up. Instead, what he did was he just came and he asked me a few questions. He said, Chipper, haven't you been praying for 30 years that you want to see awesome things? Haven't you been praying that you want to live passionately for me until the day you die? Haven't you been praying that you want to see all my promises fulfilled? Yes, sir. Here's what he said. Let me read to you what I wrote in my journal. He asked me this question. Has life gotten harder, or have you stopped pushing? Or is it a little bit of both? Has life gotten harder, or have you stopped pushing? Or is it a little bit of both? Are you with me this morning? Why would I make you uncomfortable? Because I hope I am. Because the rest of your life is ahead of you. Yesterday's yesterday. Now, today, you're entering a new reality. You may not like it. You may not enjoy the fact that Christianity is no longer the reigning, single-focused belief system in our nation. It's called pluralism. What does that mean? We're no longer in a nation where one belief system everybody adheres to. Well, you know what? We can whine and fuss and act like a bunch of spoiled brats, or we can believe what we say we believe, that God is real, truth is truth, and love never fails. We've got to decide how we're going to walk out. Let me tell you, I was going to sleep last night. And I just pulled my notes out and I said, God, I always do this. I said, God, is there any bump? Is there any little phrase, any little something you have for this specific group of people? And I believe he gave me one or two or three. It's one thought, but I'm going to give you a few statements. All right, here's what I felt like he said. What I've already said. Number one, now, today, You've already entered, really, but we're going to say it as if today. You, as individuals, families, and as a church, you're entering a new reality. You're entering new territory. You've never been here before. Can anybody say yes to that?
Yes.
How you experience this new reality depends on you. How you experience this new reality depends on you. If it's an age issue, like I said a minute ago, how you experience the rest of your years depends on you. Not how they go necessarily. I can't control everything about my life, but I can control a lot more about it by doing what I need to do. So first thought, and again, this is all just something I feel like the Lord's saying to me, and I believe he's saying it to you. We're going to look at Joshua here in a minute. And we're going to look at just some really cool thoughts out of the book of Joshua. But here's the deal. Joshua chapter 1, God spoke to Joshua. God spoke to Joshua about the next season. You need to create an opportunity for God to speak to you about your next season. How many of you know one word from God can change your life? How many of you have ever been somewhere in your whatever? And that's basically what happened to me. Here I was whining and having my little pity party. One word from God ignited my soul. And I'll be honest with you. We did a few things. We made a few adjustments. We're going after God. May talk more about that in just a few minutes. But it's already made a difference. Already made a difference. God spoke to Joshua to prepare him for his next season. You've got to get a fresh word. You've got to get a fresh word. Individually, as a family, as a church, you've got to get a fresh word. As we transition, as we make the adjustments, we have to follow him, listen to this now, with the same faith and courage we started with. How many of you remember this thought from Scripture? Return to your first love. How many of you know it's hard to maintain that fervor of first love? Maybe we can't get back to the peak of that fervor of first love, but I'm telling you what, you better try to get there. Don't raise your hands, but how many of you would admit you don't pray like you have at times in the past? You're not in the Word like you used to be. You're not chasing after the presence of God like you once did. Can anybody grunt and say, oh me, or whatever? Now here's the deal. I want the rest of your life to be amazing. You've got to transition into this new season with the same faith and courage you started. I believe for people at stages of life like I'm at, I've got to look at transitioning these next 10 or 20 years. I've got to look at them with the same kind of passion and faith I started with 30 years ago. Now that's hard to conjure up. The older you get. All right, here's another thought in the same vein. God has a plan for every season of your life. Do you realize God has a plan for the next season of your life? Say yes if you believe that.
Yes.
Now, here's the deal. Do you think it's the same plan it was as when you were 20? You think it's the same plan for this church as it was when you started? No. God forbid that we would have to change. Who in the world do we think we are? Everything changes and we think we don't have to. God has a plan for you, your family, and this church for the next season. God has fresh instructions for you. God has fresh instructions for you. God has a fresh battle plan for you. I don't know what it is for you. Now, I know for Colleen and I, there's a core of about three things that we've done for 37 years together. And this core, when we return to our core and get diligent about it, everything else just goes better. I'm going to tell you what our core is. Our core is three things: meditating on Scripture, praying in the Spirit, and journaling. Meditating on Scripture, praying in the Spirit, and journaling. And when we return to the simple disciplines, and I don't really like that word because I'm not very disciplined, but when we return to the simple realities of abiding in the Word till it talks, praying in the Spirit Jude 20, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And then thirdly, journaling. And we've learned a way of journaling that we catalog the conversation we're having with God. So for us, whenever we know we've drifted, we return to our core. And here's how we live for a while. This one thing I do. This one thing I do. And it's those three things, but it's our core. And every day we get up right now, every day, every day, every day, all we care about is getting back to that core. And God is so faithful. God is so faithful. For us, how many of you have ever gone through a stretch where you ate just like a pure idiot? Over the holidays. I mean, I eat like an idiot. I mean, just eat like, oh my goodness. I'm in pain. And I feel awful. What's amazing is God's created these bodies in such a way. When I start eating better, correctly, and exercising, within 3 days to five, it's like my body thanks me. Say yes if that makes sense. Well, you know what? Your spirit will too. Your spirit will too. When you turn back to eating right and exercising, eating the Word, exercising in the Spirit, it's like your spirit goes, ah, Chipper, now you're talking. Now you're talking. Now here's the deal. You can't necessarily control what's coming your way. You can control how you experience it. How many of you agree with this? Force or thrust minus resistance equals progress. In other words, if the thrust you're pushing and the resistance you're facing are equal, are you going to go anywhere? No. You have to provide more push than the resistance. Now, when the resistance increases, if you want to continue to make progress, what's got to happen? We got to push harder. Or we can just go whine in the corner. Oh, God, it's gotten hard. Dude, I came here to be made to feel better. I hope I am making you feel better. I hope I'm touching something in you that deep down inside your soul and your spirit are saying, you know, God's been trying to tell you that. I bet there's a bunch of people in this room that are thinking something similar to this. He's saying what God's been trying to tell me. I don't want to live a normal life. I don't want to live an average life. I just don't. Oh, because I think I'm special. No, I think He is. And you know what? He took a 23-year-old drug addict, woman-chasing, scumbag loser and married him to one of the finest women on earth. I said one of, because I assume there's a few others that are close. And has given us 37 amazing years journeying together. Well, you know what? I don't want to go on vacation. I don't want to check out yet. And if I'm honest, I sort of was. You know what I told the Lord as I was coming out of all this the other day? I said, God, you know, now that I'm looking at it from this side, I was honest with Him. I said, you know what, God? I don't want to lead. It's hard. It's lonely. It's tiring. And you know what He said? I didn't ask you. I didn't ask you. How many think it's all right for Him to talk to you like that occasionally? How many are glad He doesn't do it all the time? Now, you know what? That sounded harsh, but it wasn't really harsh. It was very firm like that. But it was just God saying, Chipper, I really didn't ask you. How many of you agree God's taught you some cool stuff? How many of you learned something worth something in the time you've journeyed with Him? Raise your hand if you've learned something worth giving away. Well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Put it in the bank? Remember the whole talents? And the one guy buried it in the ground because I know you're an unfair master and blah, blah, blah. I don't care how old you are. I don't care what situation you're in. Forgive me for saying it this way. I do care what you've been through, but in the context of our message, I don't care how hard your last few years have been. I do, really. But what I'm saying is, I'm going to give you three words before we're done. Action words. I beg you to wrestle them down with God. Is that fair? I beg you to wrestle them down with God. The last thought in this little thing I wrote last night for you guys. His grace is sufficient for every season you go through. His grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. Now I'm going to say what I said earlier. Please remember, God's grace is for the things you can't do, not the things you won't do. But His grace is sufficient. Let's look at another thought. Here's an interesting thought. Most of life is lived in the land of promise. And we're going to jump into Joshua here in just a second. Most of life is lived in the land of promise. What does that mean? A place of tension between what is and what could be. Most of your life, you're going to live in this tension between this is the way things are and I don't like it. God promises me this. How many of you know that's a cool place to live, but it's not always fun? Well, here's the deal. There's only one way to not live there. Do I need to finish that? You can leave, or you can quit, which is kind of like leaving. John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, right? You know what I believe? The greatest theft is not when the enemy takes from what you have. It's when he keeps you from getting what God wanted you to have. The greatest theft is not when the enemy takes from what you have. It's him keeping you from getting what God wants you to have. How many of you want more than you have? Spiritually, emotionally, relationally, financially, physically, impact, influence. I want more. Say more. I want more. Well, guess what? I can't just live any way I want. How many of you know you can't get what you want by getting what you want? Isn't that crazy? You cannot get what you want by getting what you want. Isn't that the truth? Well, I want to be in better shape. I want pizza. How many of you know I can get what I want? Short term, quick fix, instant gratification. Or I cannot get what I want and get what I really want. How many of you think it's okay to admit, I don't always feel like praying? Who in the room always feels like praying? And there may be somebody that does. I had never prayed myself there yet. Although I got pretty close years gone by. How many of you know you develop an affection for the things you give attention to? Affection follows attention. The more you pray, the more you'll want to pray. You got scripture for that? Yeah, I got scripture for that. Romans 6, 16 through 18, 19 in there. But one phrase says this, you're a slave of whomever you obey. You're a slave of whomever you obey. What are you trying to say, dude? Anything you say yes to enough times, you become a slave to. Anything you say yes to enough times, you become enslaved to. How'd you like to become enslaved to God? The pull of His Spirit. The warmth and power of His kingdom. Then you got to say yes to it. So I get up in the morning. My baby and I have our coffee. Just kind of chill for a minute. And we hear the little whisper. This one thing I do. Get back to your core. I don't feel like praying, Lord. Fine. Have it your way. No. Okay, hold it. Time out. I don't want it my way. And then you go pray. And how many of you had this happen? You didn't feel like praying, but you went. And you're into it about 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 7 minutes, 10 minutes, 12 minutes. And, oh, wow, I'm glad I did this. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Now, you do that for a while. And how many of you know this? The voice inside you that wants to pray eventually gets stronger than the voice that doesn't. Now, you know what you call that? Training. Training. You can train yourself to love what you're supposed to love. I want your life to be different. I don't think it's going to get any easier out there. Did you hear what I said? But I believe life can get easier for us if we'll push harder. If you push harder, the resistance won't change, but your progress will. How many of you know you can raise your resting level? What do I mean? Those guys that were up here. Let's just say, again, just for numbers, I'm not trying to be funny. Let's say all they could do is 10 push-ups. Right now, all they could do is 10 push-ups. How many of you know a month from now, every one of them could be doing 20 without even breaking a sweat? They're young. Remember that. They're young. What am I trying to say? Your resting level is based on how far you push past it. If you want to rest here, you have to push up to here, and then you'll rest here. If you're down here resting, your prayer life, your word time, whatever. If you really want it up here, you got to push past it to rest here. Dude, this is weird. It isn't weird. It's how you learn to live and walk in a place where you push through stuff easily that used to knock you down. It's how you learn to push and walk through things easily that used to knock you down. You have to push past them. Say yes if I'm making any sense. Yes. All right, let's go to Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, we're going to read 11 verses, and then I'll chase a few rabbits around there, and then we'll talk about our three words. And we're going to read a little quickly in certain places, but it's just too good. You got to remember, all right, the first word is now. Say now. Now means something came before it and something comes after it. Don't have time to chase all these rabbits, but now it came about after. Now it came about after the death of Moses. You remember the deal, right? This is the children of Israel. Where were they 40 years before this moment? They were in Egypt. Doing what? Begins with an S. They were in slavery. 40 years before this moment. Why was it 40 years between slavery and here? Because of unbelief. God said, bringing them out of Egypt, I'm going to give you your land that I promised you. Oh, let me give you another now related thought. Do you know when he promised them the land? Who got the first promise? Abraham, Genesis chapter 12. Do you know how far this was from this now? Say now one more time. Do you know when God first said, look to the north, south, east, and west. Everywhere your foot shall tread is land I'm giving to you. Do you know how long ago it was from this moment? 625 years. Is this a big deal? This is a really big deal. God's saying to the covenant, prophetically promised people of God, guess what? That's us. Now. Now came about after. There's some stuff that God wants to bring about that he's been promising. Some of you have promises that haven't come to pass yet. Say yes if that's you.
Yes.
What if your now is closer than you think? But let's look at the instructions he gives. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke. Say the Lord spoke. You gotta live. You need to know the story, you need to know the voice, and you need to know the season. If you want to have a long-term, multi-decade walk with God, you gotta know the book, the story, you gotta know the voice, and you've gotta learn to discern what season you're in. Forgive me for that little side trip. That the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, say now. Now, therefore, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them. To the sons of Israel, every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I've given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. God's always going to be bringing you back to what he's spoken to you. God's always going to be bringing you back to promises he's put in your heart. From the wilderness, and here he starts defining the boundaries and borders. What are the boundaries and borders of your inheritance? What has he promised you? What did you used to dream about that he would do? What kind of a man, what kind of a woman did you used to feel like he was going to make you into? Where was I? From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites. Now, who are the Hittites? That's a bunch of people. Here's something you got to get or you're going to miss this whole section. God has a weird way he gives gifts. I want you to imagine that I owned a beautiful house on this awesome acreage in the prettiest area around here. I don't know what that would be. But imagine like the sweetest piece of land in this whole region. And I own this beautiful, monstrously gorgeous, modern house. Beautiful. And you know I own it. I'm this really rich dude. And I come to you and I say this. You know, my place, oh yeah, I've heard of it. Oh, I hear it's amazing. Well, I want to give it to you. In fact, here's my lawyer. Here's the deeds. They're already signed over. See there? You now own my place. You start jumping around getting all excited. And then I say, but time out just 1 second. The Hell's Angels stole it from me and they're living in it. So if you want it, you got to run them off. Isn't that what he did? Think about it. God said, I'm giving you this land that flows with milk and honey. Oops, I forgot to tell you. There's people living there and they don't want to give it up. What am I trying to say to you here this morning? God would say to each and every one of you, darling son, darling daughter, I love you. I have an amazing plan for your life. But the enemy will oppose you within your head, heart, and soul, and without. In you and around you, the enemy will oppose you. And could I please say your greatest opposition is inside of you, not outside of you? Please hear that. Your greatest opposition to God's best for you is on the inside, not the outside. Can anybody say yes? I have a great life laid out for you. But you got to come take it. You got to come take it. You got to come take it. You got to pull down some strongholds. You got some stuff lies in your head that's lying to you. How many of you have some lies banging around in your head? They're what's keeping you from God and God's best for you. All the land of the Hittites, as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. Say my territory. I got some territory. And I want it. Say I want it. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. That includes the one in the mirror. Just as I've been with Moses, I will be with you. God, man, I will be with you. I will not, God now, I will not fail you. How many of you feel like he has? When Jack Frost died, God, what are you thinking, sir? What are you thinking? How many of you have got a few little moments in your journey, you're like, God, are you on vacation? Say yes if you're with me. Do you think that bothers God that we say that? I got a few things I'm like, God, I will not fail you. I choose to believe it. But I got some questions. or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore. Do you know that God bound himself by an oath? We don't have time to talk about it. That freaks some people out. God took actions that put himself in a position that he had to do things. You mean to tell me God's obligated to do certain things? Yes, he is. When you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he's obligated to save you. Oh, God can do whatever he wants. He can. And he chose to bind himself by an oath. Why? So that you and I could trust him. So that you and I could trust his word. For he swore to your fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law should not depart from your mouth, but you shall. He's already told us all that he shall. Now he's saying, but you shall meditate in my word day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. You feel the shift here? He's already told us what he's going to do. Now he's saying what you better do. Then you'll make your way prosperous. Then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? It doesn't say asked you. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves. For within 3 days you are to cross this Jordan, go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess it. I want to talk about three words, and we're going to wind up here in just a minute. Three words. One of them's from the front, one of them's from the last few verses. Three words. Arise, prepare, possess. Arise, prepare, possess. I believe if you find some way to do these three things, arise, prepare, possess. Look at the word arise. I just play with the dictionary. I love words. Arise means to rise from a quiet, inactive, or subjugated state. Subjugated means under the authority and abuse almost of someone else. To rise from a quiet, inactive, subjugated state to become active, engaged, and energized. You know what? Life is hard. But life's hardness wears us down, and we stop pushing. And then even when it's not hard, it feels hard. I wish I could tell you that there's a way to go through life and it not be hard. But there's not. There's not. So you really have a choice. I could either get up and by the grace of God push harder. How many of you know he that's in you is greater than he that's in the world? Thanks be unto God who always leads us in his triumph in Christ Jesus. And that's not while we're sitting around twiddling our thumbs. There's stuff I've got to do. Are you with me? Look at the word prepare. To make something or someone ready for use or action, or for a particular event or purpose. To provide a person or group with necessary power and equipment to plan something in advance. How many of you know God will give you the steps you need to take to navigate to a place of victory in this next season? Say yes if that made sense. Now here's the deal. He's going to give you, I believe he'll give you few simple, clear steps. I told you, ours are so simple. And I'll be honest with you, we only focus on one. Our main objective every day is to pray in the Spirit. I trust Romans chapter 8, verse 26. I don't know how to pray as I ought. But the Holy Spirit prays through me with groanings that I don't understand. but he prays through me the perfect will of God. I trust the Holy Ghost. And I just feel charged up after I do it. And then, of course, I'm always reflecting on the word. Third word, possess. You know what's interesting? If you look this word up in the... This isn't how an English dictionary would do it. But if you look up the word in the Old Testament that's used for the word possess, it means to occupy, but it means to occupy by driving out who's currently occupying. So it doesn't mean, well, here, have this bottle of water. It means that dude over there is holding your bottle of water. Go take it from him. That's what it means. That dude over there is holding your bottle of water. Go slap him and take it from him. And I'll go with you. And if you need me to, I'll slap him for you. I'll hold him while you beat him. You follow me? Your future's in enemy hands. Go take it. The word literally means to take, seize, or capture. God has an amazing future for you. God has rules, principles, laws that govern the universe, seen and unseen. Please listen to me. He will not change them to suit you. He will not. He will not. And you know what God always honors? Faith-driven hunger. Faith-driven hunger. You think about the Gospels. Did Jesus ever say to anybody, ooh, you just asking way too much? Now, he did on occasion say, you don't know what you're asking and what it's going to cost you. But you know what he frequently marveled at? Where's your faith, man? Don't you understand who I am? Don't you understand what I can do? You follow me? Why don't we make heaven break a sweat by asking it for more than we've ever asked before? Why don't we just go after those things God's put in our heart? I don't want to coast my way to the grave. I don't want to coast into the grave. I want to go scratching and snarling. I figure heaven's going to be pretty cool. How many think it's going to be pretty cool? I figure maybe it'll even have a restful quality to it. Well, guess what? You got an eternal vacation coming. Don't go on it yet. You with me? Let me pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for the privilege of being here with this wonderful group of people, this wonderful church. And God, this church has a calling. This church has an assignment. This church has a destiny. And yes, sir, the season around us has changed. The culture around us has changed. The forces we're wrestling with have changed. But by the grace of God, there's fresh instructions, fresh grace, fresh anointing, fresh wisdom, fresh insight, fresh joy, fresh power to go into this next season. To take what's ours. Father, I bless this pastor and wife, our dear friends, Carl and Brenda. I bless the leadership. I bless the worship. I bless the prayer warriors. I bless the children's ministers, the ushers, the nursery keepers. God, I bless the people that hold up the arms and pick up the shovels and go to work. I bless those who tithe and give and sweat and toil. I bless those who are here just saying, you know, I'm just thinking about it, getting involved. I bless them all and I say, God, form them, shape them, fashion them into an instrument that fulfills the calling and assignment you've given this place. And we thank you for it, sir. We thank you for it, sir. If you've caught the spirit of what I've said today, I want to lead you in a prayer. Obviously, I can't tell you what all I'm going to say, so you're going to have to trust me. But repeat this after me. Heavenly Father, I believe my life's not over. You have stuff for me. To do, to have, to enjoy, to accomplish. Forgive me that I've not pressed like I know to press. Forgive me. I've been whining. I've allowed life to dictate to me instead of me to it. I ask you today, sir, give me the grace, give me the strength, give me the vision, give me the faith to arise, to prepare, and to possess everything you've destined for me, for us to have. And I thank you, sir, in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you guys.